Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking. Recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
Now, South Africa's constitution fiercely protects freedom of expression. But what happens when that freedom clashes with workplace conduct, company values, and even disciplinary procedures? A recent Labour Court ruling involving a dismissed employee who used vulgar language during a safety meeting has reignited debate about where to draw the line. So, can a slip of the tongue cost you your job? Should company culture trump personal expression? And how far can employers go before they breach constitutional rights? It's an interesting legal and ethical tightrope, and I'm joined now by Nombuso Ndlovu, industrial relations consultant at Strategy Labour Solutions. Nombuso, a very warm welcome, and maybe let's start with the core tension here, freedom of expression versus company discipline. In your view, was the Labour Court right to uphold the dismissal, despite it being labelled as a slip of the tongue?
What the courts have said in respect of this case is that there was a strict rule and the conduct of the employee was deemed not only to be a misconduct, but it was disrespectful and undermines the respect and trust of the employment relationship. This is what ultimately led to the dismissal of Mr. Buthelezi.
Is there a danger, I wonder, that this going forward could set a precedent for employers to overreach and silence legitimate worker complaints?
That's not what the court's intention or the ruling's intention. In fact, it encourages employees to speak out, but this must be done in alignment with the employer having policies and codes of conduct in place, which will identify what is deemed as misconduct, what is unacceptable, because in as much as Section 16 of our Constitution speaks of the freedom of expression, as freedom of that right. That right comes with the limitation as expressed in Section 36 of the Constitution that it must not override or offend or hamper on human dignity. So it would be important for employers to have policies in place and make it known to employees. And in the event of any breach, employees will then be subjected to disciplinary action. On the other hand, it must be made known that employees are also empowered to express what they need to express. But in the event of an employee being on the receiving end of the vulgar language, they also have a recourse in respect of either lodging a formal grievance or raising their complaint, because rules of the company apply to every person.
Now, Nombuso, it was interesting to read that the court also emphasized context and tone. And I'd suggest to you this is a little more tricky because context can be subjective. So how can a company objectively assess what crosses the line, and particularly in what might be an emotionally charged moment? That's more complicated, isn't it?
It is complicated because sometimes a person may just express that this is out of expression, speak generally of the environment. But if there's a rule in place which expresses how the conduct of a person is required, especially in professional settings, then it will identify as to whether this causes harm to the employment relationship, has harmed an individual, or is it a misconduct which can be dealt with progressively. So that's where policies which are in place then give guidance as to how this would be dealt with, whether the language is expressed towards a person, towards a senior, or causes any harm in the employment relationship or towards a specific person. It will then be dealt with differently if it's just an expression, but the person would have used vulgar language. If there's a policy in place that is specific in that vulgar language is not acceptable, and it is specific in that if it is addressed to a specific person, then it's dealt with differently. Ultimately, it may result in disciplinary action against a person being taken, and it may result in a dismissal if it is seen to have harmed the employment relationship and made their employment relationship intolerable.
Does it make any difference that the person's language wasn't directed at a specific person, yet he was still fired? It says something, doesn't it, about how companies define disrespect and even disruption?
Yes, that is why you will find that there are various ways of dealing with specific misconduct. It may be progressive, not all misconduct would result in dismissal, but it may be that because the use of specific language or the use of specific terms in the workplace are not acceptable, it might be that someone might be progressively disciplined by being issued a warning, or if it's deemed to be serious enough to be considered as disrespectful towards an authoritative figure or to be considered as insolent, then it may result in an ultimate dismissal following disciplinary action. So the disrespect is in the manner in which it was conducted or if it is addressed to a specific person.
Let me get a little more granular. I'd suggest to you that many employees often feel they're not heard unless they raise their voices, particularly in a setting like the one we're talking around, which I understand was a safety meeting where maybe even lives were potentially at stake. Shouldn't passion, even if it's poorly worded, as was the case in this instance, be given a little more leeway?
It'll be difficult to be consistent when you accept leeway. That is why we have policies that will set the tone in terms of guidelines of what is acceptable, when is it acceptable to use or not make use of certain expressions. It is understood that in this instance, there may have been a passionate expression of either the situation or towards a person. But in this instance, it was clear that there was a rule in place which was breached, and the breach of that rule led to the employment relationship being intolerable. So in as much as there was a right, the responsibility to exercise that right is actually what differs in respect of context, tone, passion, etc.
Just a quick one in conclusion then. We live in a country with a diverse and often outspoken workforce, and it's critical for companies to foster a culture that, one, encourages open dialogue but enforces professional boundaries. I just wonder whether you think most South African companies are getting this balance right.
It is difficult to speak overall or in general with companies, and that is why it is important for employers to have policies in place. And in as much as we have the constitution, which gives us the freedom to exercise our rights, it also limits us in not hampering on human dignity, or it gives us limitations on how to exercise those rights. So employers then have a duty to make sure that they have policies in place, and that those policies are communicated to employees. In the event of a breach by an employee, then there's recourse and it is known to an employee what could happen, what the repercussions could be. So I'm of the view that in terms of employers, when there's a policy in place, all good and well. That is the tone that is set in terms of the guidelines that give providence in terms of how one should conduct themselves in a professional setting.
A lot of lessons to be learned from this case. Nombuso Ndlovu, thank you very much indeed. Industrial Relations Consultant at Strategy Labor Solutions.
Our business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.